Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We need this on the record. Okay, you were on customer service.
I was on customer service, and I have a very specific tactic that I deploy where I'm like, I'm very frustrated right now. I realize it's not your fault and it's your corporation's fault, but it is very frustrating. And I imagine that if you were in my position, you would, but this person, it was a customer service call I'm dealing with for Air Canada because I have to change a flight to go on a red eye, which no one ever wants to do. I guess there are some people whose first choice is a red eye, and those people have some kind of trauma that makes that palatable for them. But no one's like, I got the best night's sleep on that plane. Even the people in the layout first class beds, which I got to be in one time, not a good night's sleep. If you are saying that, you are lying or you're on propofol. There's just no other way around it. And I had to change my flight, and I got told something the other day, and this person was telling me that's incorrect, but she couldn't. She's like, I can't change your flight. You can either do it online or go to the airport. I don't know. You guys are on the East Coast. I'm in LA. The airport that has Air Canada is LAX, which is, it's not convenient for anyone to just go for a leisurely errand. So it was a frustrating morning, all while having to get my kids ready on this call for 45 minutes while getting my kids ready for school and dropping them off. And I did it, and I managed to figure it out in spite of their lack of courtesy and helpfulness.
You got the flight changed?
I did, and now I'm trying to get a seat on it, and this is all I get. So I might be on a red eye in a middle seat, which yeah, I guess no, you know no, I'll cozy up to whoever's next to me and I'll lay
no,
on
I'm
them.
An aisle guy. It's interesting. So I love you. You started off the call, the episode, whatever we call this, saying that you're an empathetic soul, which is nice. It's something I struggle with, and I've been burned online by our. I wouldn't call them fans. I'd call them more like viewers, people who just come across us online because I've shared, I've opened up, we're vulnerable here. I've said that, you know, I have not always been the kindest person to customer service. This was a thing that was not modeled for me in my home. And
Same.
I was told, you know, I'm the customer. My parents are boomers, so it was like, customer's always right. You work for me. You don't work for me. It's just, I watched, you know, my parents overpower these people from, I don't know, Siemens or where did we go? Fortunoff, I don't, you know, what are now closed? Probably because they were too mean to customer service. But, you know, the point is, you were modeling kindness to this person who works for Air Canada in front of your kids. And like, What a great dad. You're the world's greatest dad. Welcome, world's greatest dad, Sandy Danto. Danto.
I grew up in the Midwest, but I'm sure... But I know the origins of it, according to my aunt, who is the most well-versed in our family genealogy. She said that our last name was changed from Portugal. It was Danto Alcanto. So Danto Alcanto, which is like, I think, I know in Spanish, cantar is to sing.
Yeah.
So I assume there's some sort of loose similarity with Portuguese.
But what's Danto? Dance the sing?
I guess so. Dance All and right. sing.
It is well, Portuguese. It is Portuguese, so sometimes it's a little different.
It's a little bit off. So it might not be dance and sing. It might be like scream and flail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when you said Danto Alcanto, it was, I'll just say it, like kind of amusing. It sounds like something Adam Sandler would say. But when you said Danto Alcanto, I was like more respectful. I was like, right.
Something.
Danto El Canto.
It is. Yeah.
Where in the Midwest are you from?
The Detroit area suburbs.
Detroit. All right. And yeah. Where in LA do you live?
I can't say Detroit because then when I meet somebody that grew up in the city, they're like, oh, what part? And I say my suburb and they're like, that's not Detroit.
But sure. Sure.
I mean, I live in LA. I live in the Valley.
Mm.
I know people that when I first met them, they told me they're from LA, but they're from Orange County. For point of reference, they're from LA. But if you live within LA, it's not LA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is a common. This is a, I don't know if you can see my hat. It's I won this at the public school gala. In,
I love it.
I'm in Brooklyn, as you know. But this is a thing, you know. I grew up in the suburbs of New Jersey, and I remember meeting people in college, and you know, saying, "Oh, where are you from?" And they said, "New York City." I said, "Oh, cool. Where in Manhattan?" And they say, "Well, New Jersey,
Westchester,
Leonia, you know." But it's like 10 minutes over the bridge, and I'm like, "That's not the same." And they're, "Well, you know, a lot of people don't know." I'm like, "I know it. I'm from New Jersey. I know Leonia." All right, don't lie. Pretend like you're a city kid getting drugs at 14. You're not.
You guys. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, LA is interesting because it's so spread out. And there's so much of it that almost gets these names kind of later. I lived there from 95 to 2015. And after a few years, you know, people were like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm from L.A. I'm like, okay, where? And, you know, in 97, you would say, like, I don't know, frickin', you know, Pico Fairfax. And so it would be like, oh, right, that, then right. In 2007.
All the hyper-specific neighborhood.
Yeah, but then in 2007, they'd be like, oh, yeah, it's like Carthay Circle. And I'm like, the shit is that? You know what I mean? Somebody put up a little sign. And they're like, oh, yeah, this is Carthay. And then the real estate people come in. They're like, yeah, this is a great property in Carthay Circle. And I'm like, it's freaking Fairfax. It's by Little Ethiopia. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just think, you know, people drink their own Kool-Aid. And they drink their own Kool-Aid and be like, you know what? You're from the Valley. You're not worthy. And I'm like, whatever, dude. It's not even Chatsworth. You're in Studio City. That's nicer in East Hollywood. That's where I lived. East Hollywood. Although East Hollywood apparently is nice now. But when I was there, not so good, my friend.
I wouldn't go as far as saying it's nice now. They've thrown up a few new buildings. And there are a few new restaurants. But it's still got that grungy, gritty sort of, I don't know if I'm going to get stabbed or offered a Scientology pamphlet.
Yeah.
Sort of vibe.
Yeah. Which
and I can say that as someone who didn't grow up in Echo Park, but historic Filipino town.
Dude, I remember like years later, people were like, oh yeah, that's Frogtown. I'm like, the what? I've lived here a long time. I never heard about this whole frog. I didn't even know it existed. you know? And right. I know plenty of Filipinos. I miss L.A. When you said L.A., I was like, oh, my God, I miss it. I miss
it. It's usually the other way around. People get older and they move from New York to L.A., especially with kids, because there's just a lot. Everyone in the Midwest is like, when are you going to move back to Michigan? I'm like, never. They're like, you're really going to raise a kid in L.A.? I'm like, you mean a place where they can go swimming all year round, where they can do outdoor activities all year round? They're not subjugated to being indoors with salt around the bottom of their pant legs for 4 months of the year and another cumulative 4 months where it's raining. Yeah, I think I'm going to stay in LA where my kids have a lot of different options of things to do when they're teenagers that are wholesome instead of just hang out in parking lots and smoke pot and drink.
That'll still happen too, but you're right. They could.
Want to make a difference in your community, but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Do it at the beach. Sure, but at least there are other options for teenagers and for kids to do.
Yeah.
Whereas we just didn't have the movies or get in trouble were our options. Where did you guys grow up?
I think that was the 90s, though. I think that was part of the times.
Right. It's a lot harder to do that stuff when your phone is being tracked.
Yeah, it's so different, dude. It's my kid just got a phone. It's crazy. Whole new world.
How old?
He is 13. He started 8th grade. He turns 14 at the end of November, so he just kind of missed that cutoff. So he's like definitely one of the back end of kids in his peer group to get a phone, but we got it now. Surprisingly, we got him a phone, added a third line, but we hadn't changed our plan, so I'm actually saving money with him having a phone. So, you know, like, how's that possible?
Better than that.
Yeah, I know, right? It's great.
Ollie, before we go any further, because, you know, we could talk all day.
I know.
Well, we actually can't. We're running out of time. Can you do the intro?
Absolutely.
You know, people are like, they barely know who we are.
Yeah. Is anyone even listening to this? But, you know, Sandy is.
Well, not at the moment, but they will.
Yeah, it's true. It's inevitable.
I'm sure the like, tens of people that see me post this in my stories when you give me the link to it, a few of them will listen to it.
Yeah. I mean, by the time this airs, TBS will be off the air. So, you know, they'll have to watch us eventually because they're running out of cable TV.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Here we go, folks. Today's guest is a comedic powerhouse who's been delighting audiences for nearly two decades. A mainstay of the Los Angeles stand-up scene, Sandy Danto has appeared on Comedy Central, Showtime, and shows like Kill Tony and Adam Ray's Dr. Phil Live. He starred in award-winning films like The Cowboy and The Samurai and Funny Fat Guy. He started his career at National Lampoon in the early days of YouTube, long before it was cool. Offstage, when he's not making audiences laugh, Sandy is busy being a devoted dad to his two daughters. Please welcome Sandy Danto to World's Greatest Dad.
Thank you guys for having me. Thank you.
Welcome. I'm having a good time. I'm not going to lie.
This is serving as my meditation and my journaling for the day. So I'm glad to open myself up to you and the world. And this is centering me because it was a stressful morning. and I'm glad that I have you guys to commiserate on parenting with. Now, Ali, you have a 13-year-old, and Neil, how old are your kids? And do you have other kids?
Do you have other kids, Ali? Just the one.
Just the one.
That's what I thought, but I, you know.
Nice. One 13-year-old sounds like a breeze.
Yeah. I mean, I'm we're okay. You know what I mean? One day at a time. Not to push any kind of cliches, not to be sexist. Neil reminds me, being a Gen Xer, that, you know, I'm more of a bigot. You know, having daughters is hard. You know what I mean?
And I'm more out of touch than the, 24-year-old they/them folks I come across in my travels. But I'm learning and I'm growing, and I hope that that's okay. I hope I have the opportunity to continue to learn and grow.
Anyway, I think that's all you can hope for. My parents are both probably when they were around my age, I'm old and stuck in my ways, and they use that as an excuse to not grow or be open, and that's okay. You know, that is like the boomer credo. But I've got a 7 and a 4-year-old, both daughters, and I will be a work in progress until the day I die.
And then you're finished. Literally and figuratively. The work has been done.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then this finished project can go back into the Casper mattress box from whence it came and put out on the curb and go back into the earth.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens after that. I'm hoping there's reincarnation and I can come back as whatever an influencer is in 2125.
Ooh.
I've never thought about that as my second act, reincarnation. Because, you know, things are tough these days. You know what I mean? I'm starting to, I got less years left. I'm 48, you know. But you're right. Maybe my second act is just going to be a second life. You know, I need to be reincarnated. I'm going to be thinking about that as the big thing. My family's going to be like, are you freaking kidding me? You're thinking about that? But I think that's whatever it takes to make me feel a little better, I guess.
I've got follow-up questions.
Go ahead.
You said 25. We're talking 100 years from now. I imagine you're 40-ish, right? So you're already going to be living to 140 years old. Or are you thinking that whenever you die, there's a gap? Like, this is actually I want to ask, do you think reincarnation, is it instantaneous? Or is there kind of a bureaucracy of the reincarnating gods where they're like, all right, we got one soul, it's been sitting on the shelf for 5 years, and we're ready to kind of put it into a new corpse.
More like that. I'm hoping that there's you get a little break. Existence is hard.
Mm.
We all deserve a little bit of time off.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah, I'm hoping that if reincarnation is real, that you get reincarnated, but there's a little bit of gap time.
Yeah. You know, what would be interesting is your reincarnation setup was built on, the type of life you live. Basically good or bad. So hell reincarnation is you're being reincarnated and you're just some other guy in your town. And they were 2 years younger than you. So basically, Sandy, you're not really getting a taste of the future. You basically are right. Currently, you'd be 39. You know, your reincarnation, it's almost in the past. It's so weird. That'd be weird.
That's so interesting. And by the way, I think this has just become a Neil deGrasse Tyson podcast. But I'm down with it. Why do you have to be reincarnated in the future even? You know, is time linear?
If it's a flat circle,
just get reincarnated in medieval times, in biblical times.
I think that is hell reincarnation.
Okay.
I think heaven reincarnation is being reincarnated to either a future utopia or, honestly, baby boomer times. Like being reincarnated as a baby boomer. You're not asked or expected to change or improve yourself. You got to live through the 60s, Quaaludes in the 70s, windbreakers and cool hair in the 80s, no social media, no internet, just kind of a free-for-all as far as your social life and leisure time goes, believing in signs and anything being possible. And that seems like, I think we were born on the tail end of that, and now we're just experiencing what, it could be a bump in the road, or it could just be a sign of things to come that are bleak, but hopefully not. Hopefully, you know, I have a friend who's like, who I was venting to, and he's like, you know, I bet the people in 1940s Germany thought things would never get better, and then they did. And so, well, you never know when things might change for the better.
Yeah.
And the course of history is set differently. Although we're always going to have corporations, so who knows?
Hmm. Well, but maybe the corporations will, like, be nicer to us.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah.
Based on my customer service call this morning, that won't be the case.
Hmm.
But that could be wrong, too.
O'Reilly. Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I hope corporations become nicer to us.
Yeah.
Make corporations great again, you know?
I mean, have you seen Alien Earth?
Cut the feed. Yeah, no, corporations are doing fine, I think. I mean, well, I don't know. I guess we'll see at the end of this quarter. But return, you know, earnings reports are coming up. This is a dad podcast, they tell us. You're a dad. This is our reason we're talking to you. But you haven't always been a dad. You know, you've always been a comedian, probably. I mean, not always, but, you know, for longer than you've been a dad. You might call you a working comic.
Well.
You know, which is, yeah, please.
I'm the oldest of four kids, so technically, yes, I have not been a dad as long as I have had what I've needed to be funny for to make up for whatever has gone on in my head. But when you're the oldest of four kids, you're basically like a, you know, when you go to camp, you're a counselor in training at a certain age before you can be a counselor. I was like a parent in training from the time I was 9 on.
You're a PIT.
I was a PIT.
Yeah.
I'm a real PIT.
Okay. How much younger are your siblings?
My younger brother's 3 years younger. And then I have two sisters, 7 and 9 years younger.
That's a spread. Same biological parents?
Yes.
Whoa, your parents were like doing it.
Yeah, they fucked until they didn't.
Okay. Yeah. That's what happened.
They fucked until my dad started fucking somebody else.
You know, it always goes that way, doesn't it? It's like, it's the last place you look. It's always the
are they still together?
Funny story, still married, have not lived together for a long, long time.
What? Okay. Well, and have they, when's the last time they've seen each other?
At my sister's wedding in May.
Oh, how'd that go?
Well, since you're asking.
I am.
It was good for me.
Good.
But it was the first time my mom and my dad's girlfriend, who my dad left my mom for, have interacted in person in 15 years or so, as far as I know.
Okay.
And so that was traumatic for my mom, but entertaining.
Okay.
And it really, like, I hated visiting Michigan because it's so stressful being in between the, all the drama, but this sort of was like a pressure release for me for that. And now I don't feel so much stress and anxiety about the notion of visiting where I grew up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it's also informed my parenting a lot because, you know, I just don't want... I don't want that for my kids or for me or for my wife. And me and my wife have like a... I'm self-conscious saying this. I feel guilty. But me and my wife have like a one percenter kind of relationship. We dated in high school. We broke up and then reconnected 10 years later in New York. I was trying to move there. I was doing that thing that... people in LA do where you're like, I know it'll solve all my problems and help my career. Moving across the country and starting over completely.
Oh, man.
And I ran into a friend of hers from high school that I also knew. And she told her I was in town and we got drinks. And now we're married with two kids in a house in the valley with a white picket fence.
How 1950s of you.
Except for I'm the trad wife. I've got sourdough baking right now. I'm on a lot of speed. I make all my kids' pouches from scratch.
Oh my God, really?
No.
Oh, okay.
And I don't bake. But incredible. I am, you know, since I work at night, I do all the things with the kids, and my wife has like a normal, somewhat stable job until the recent administration. My wife's a nurse practitioner at Children's Hospital, but the recent administration cut funding for a lot of the medical programs that fund children's hospitals, so they had to do layoffs, and things are really tense there right now. But like otherwise, for all intents and purposes, she is in a stable field.
Yeah.
So I'm the one, I'm like the housewife. I'm doing laundry, unloading the dishwasher, cleaning, taking care of the kids, homework.
How does it work when you're on the road, though?
I'm leaving town tomorrow. The phone call that I've referenced several times was brought about because my wife is anxious that I'm going to be gone for so long because the original plan is for me to be gone Wednesday to Monday. And typically I'm gone Thursday to Sunday. So it's really only one day where she's got to do drop off and pick up from school because she does not work on Friday. She only works Monday through Thursday. So it's pretty chill for me to be gone. But for me to be gone Wednesday to Monday, what has to happen is I've got to pack all the lunches and have everything laid out and prepared so that she has the path to least resistance with it all. We got to get a WAG dog walker, which is like the Uber of dog walkers. I'm not being paid to say that. That's just the one that we use. And it also, whether I'm gone one night or 2 months, which I haven't been gone for 2 months since before I was married, but still comes with a lot of guilt.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that because we've got about 100 questions for you. We've covered none of them. And one of them is, how do you handle dad guilt when you're away? But it sounds like, you are also around a lot and, you know, you need some you time. And if that means, you know, telling jokes to strangers, well, doggone it. But no, for real, how do you deal with that? Are you FaceTiming the kids? Do they know where you are? Are they like, how's, you know, yuck yucks in Toronto? Like, what do they say?
My kids know what I do and we talk about writing jokes or making people laugh. But then my daughter also was like, Daddy's a chameleon. And I was like, no, comedian. And, but maybe she's onto something because I do change based on my environment. Because when I am away, I'm very guilty. And how I express that guilt is through bribery. And I spend about half of what I make buying shit that's going to get thrown out for my kids. And I try to do something nice for my wife when I get back, whether that's like let her sleep or get her a massage or, you know, buy a nice meal or whatever. But that's how I deal with the guilt, you know. I also try to remember in the moments when I'm overstimulated and by myself with the kids and they're both asking for things and the dog's barking and there's Jehovah's Witnesses at the door trying to convert me. By the way, has anyone ever been converted by someone a stranger knocking at their door and being like, hey, you need Jehovah in your life, like, or Scientology, or Joseph Smith and the Mormons? Like, who the fuck is like, oh, you've annoyed and interrupted me, but yeah, I'll join your religion / cult. That's a huge sidetrack, but
no, I think Ollie has insights.
Do you? Are you one of those?
Well, I have to tell you, growing up, we did have those people come to the house, and you know, I was little. I was little enough where my mom was in charge of the front door, and she did let them in, and she would be pretty gracious and accept all the materials, right? I should probably preface it by saying she was medicated for schizophrenia. She had, you know, mental health issues. But, you know, I was like, oh, I'll check this book out. So I'm looking at, like, you know, some sort of kiddie version of biblical stuff, and my dad comes home, and, you know, just for the record, just to get it out there, you know, both my parents are from Bangladesh, they're Muslim, and my dad comes home, and he's like, what is this? Why are you reading? He actually got mad, because I was reading about the Philistines, so I think part of it is just, you know, perhaps the mentally ill, or just people really gracious, and yeah, I not only did I receive this literature, but I also didn't have cable, so, and I love to watch TV, and so I would end up tuning into the Christian channel, and they had these biblical cartoons, and I would watch them, because I like cartoons. This is way before streaming, we're talking about the 80s, and I actually got a decent working knowledge of biblical references without the actual, you know, belief in it actually happening, you know. But yeah, so, you know, it's weird. You normally you'd be like, get that. Now if someone comes to my door, I'm like, I different guy, you know. I'm like, I won't go to the door, but I would be like, get the hell out of here. I'd like hold my dog that has enough brindle that looks like a pit bull from the window. You know, that's how I'd handle it now. But yeah, no.
Well, there is a certain people pleasing element to, like, all I can say is I'm glad I've got a doorbell with a camera, so I just know to not open the door.
Yeah.
Because I have a hard time being, look, these people truly believe that they're spreading the word that will help people. But they're, in fact, the ones that probably need to be medicated for schizophrenia.
Some, yeah.
Let me ask you this, we talked about religion. Are you religious? Do your kids believe in God? That's a good one, Neil. New question.
Yeah.
Do your kids believe? Or Santa. Yeah, or Santa. Or the Tooth Fairy.
I don't think my 4-year-old's aware yet. They just started Hebrew school. My 7-year-old talks about God, but I'm not totally sure she's sold on the idea of God. I mean, I'm still, my believe in God is ever evolving and changing. So I don't expect my kids to totally understand it. I think the purpose of kids being taught about God and understanding God is to try to control them. In like, am I wrong? Like, the idea of God, maybe not entirely, just it's a framework for understanding why we're here and how everything came to be. But it's also like, oh, God tested Abraham by threatening to kill his son and punished the world by flooding it and having this one guy be responsible for all of, not just humanity, but all of biology living on beyond that.
Sure.
So it is like a fear tactic to try to keep kids in line.
Yeah.
In the biblical sense.
Sure.
But that is to say, I think my one kid believes in God. I don't think the other one really knows about God yet. And I recently read a book that changed my belief in God, but I'm not like, I'm not really religious. My wife's dad had a midlife crisis and became Shomer Shabbos, you know, where you observe the Sabbath and you don't turn on lights or use electricity or drive or cook or do any work from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. So she had, my wife's dad had a midlife crisis and became really religious. My dad had a midlife crisis and got a second family.
Right, right.
And, you know, at least I got to still eat cheeseburgers.
He's a comedian.
I'm religious in the sense that I want my kids to know the traditions that my family grew up with and, you know, my family lineage and all that. But I'm not like... And I certainly have enough knowledge about the religion, but not enough to teach my kids that myself, and that's why they're in Hebrew school.
Right.
Sandy, I have some follow-up questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
And also just some information for you about me, which you can, you know, feel free to share with the government or the Proud Boys. But
I'll share it with my kids. Maybe they would believe in Neil, and it's something they could find more helpful in their life than God.
I just believe in Yoko and me, but I'm
deep cut. John Lennon's first solo album.
Yeah, well, my parents are boomers.
That's reality.
So. I'm Jewish, despite my face. I did the test. 23andMe, 100% Ashkenazi Jew. So they can send me back wherever they want. But I too, you know, my wife grew up religious until she wasn't. I'm curious, does your father-in-law, like, does he have like a Shabbos goy to kind of do stuff for him?
I think they did. He's no longer with us, but I think that they did at one point, like have a neighbor that came and helped out with stuff like that.
So Ollie, so when you're Orthodox or traditional in the Jewish religion, you know, as Sandy said, you can't do certain things. You can't turn on lights. You can't drive a car. You can't, you know, use a microwave, like anything that's like modern and helpful. It's over. You know, you're lighting candles. Very dangerous. Just from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday night. So, you know, just a good 24-hour period of no electricity. But and it's the day of rest, you know, the day God was like, I'm tired of flooding the earth. I'm going to chill out. So like at a synagogue, they would hire these people who weren't Jewish to be like janitors and like staff, because it was like, okay, if they're doing it, because it's like, well, they don't believe this. So at the very least, they can help us. But I guess I'm curious, you know, seeing that you weren't traditional or Orthodox, would your father-in-law have been okay with, like, you guys flipping the lights? Or do you have to be not even Jewish at all?
Yeah, you know, I think he was... By the way, they had timers on their lights.
Which is hilarious, because it's like, we're so religious that thank goodness technology has advanced enough that we don't have to touch it. We can preordain that it will go off. Right. It's like, what's the fucking difference?
Right. I think they lived within, they weren't like super duper duper strict. And they could, it got to a point where he wasn't going to subject his kids to that, like, level of being devout. And so they made exceptions and all that. But can you imagine, like, you're a teenager and all of a sudden you just can't go out on Friday nights anymore?
Yeah, it sucks. Although, you know, it wouldn't have affected me. I was kind of a nerd. But yeah, I imagine that sucks for kids that are popular. Yeah.
Well, I can, you know, tell you...
Imagine not being able to play... Like, all of a sudden, you can't play video games on Friday night.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, or whatever. I don't know what kind of nerd... You say nerd, but, like, there's different kind of nerds.
Yeah.
What kind of nerd were you?
I was a nerd. I had a girlfriend, but I was in marching band. I didn't drink. And I didn't smoke pot or cigarettes or e-cigarettes because they didn't exist yet. Then I went to college and you know, learned to binge drink and then had to unlearn that, you know. So, and here we are on a dad podcast.
I feel you. I learned to binge drink in middle school. I wish, you know, the drug... Speaking of parenting, I don't know where your heads are at. Ali, you have a 13-year-old, so I was already well on my way to, and I know things are different now with kids, but by 13, I was already smoking pot, smoking cigarettes, drinking. If I found a pill, I would take it, you know, who knows? I think I was a year away from trying mushrooms, and I blame the DARE program. The drug intervention that they tried with us was dishonest, and it also made drugs seem cool. It was like, these rock stars died from drug overdose. Oh, you mean the people that I think are the coolest in the world were doing this stuff? You just got to not do it as much as they did. And, like, don't try LSD because you'll have flashbacks later in life. You mean it'll just keep happening, the thing that I did on purpose? It, like, I don't have to pay for more. It's just, like, gonna resume at some point. That sounds... It all sounds like, oh, you'll be able to taste colors and see sounds. Are you selling this, or are you trying to keep me from doing it?
Yeah.
And I think if somebody had just been like, look, you're gonna do this stuff at some point, whether it's as a teenager or as an adult. But if you... drink just enough that you're like loosened up, but not to black. My plan every time, drinking until I was like 26 or 7, was like, get as drunk as you can as fast as you can. And if somebody was like, that's not, you're not gonna, what is the purpose of you going out and drinking? You want to meet girls? You want to have a good time? The way you're doing it is not gonna do that. And if somebody was like, smoking pot can be really fun, makes food taste better, makes music sound better, makes things funnier, but it's gonna be a lot harder to stay in shape, and it's gonna be a lot harder to talk to not just women, but make eye contact with the person you're buying the movie ticket from at the box office, or the waitress at the diner that you're ordering chili cheese fries from. I think I would have had a much different approach to my leisure activities in my teens and 20s. Instead of just being like, no, it's bad for you. It's bad for your brain. Really cool people died from doing these things.
Yeah.
So my plan is just to be honest with my kids and be the parent that's like, you can do it as long as it's with me.
Mm. So I have a question on that, because I'm, you know, in a similar stance And, you know, being someone who has had experience with this stuff, I guess the question I have for you is, how honest is honest? And you've got some miles to go, but, you know, my kid is 13. And as you had mentioned, I mean, technically you can go back to the old stats of the old days. Us Gen Xers, we were starting to, you know, chase the dragon. It's going to be a year from now. And yeah, so how much truth do you plan on sharing? Because, you know?
Well, I plan on sharing a lot of truth because I've got daughters, and the idea of them drinking or being impaired on their own freaks me out. And it would freak me out with sons too, but for slightly different reasons. I mean, I don't see the point in being dishonest and saying like, oh no, you don't. I think it's just human nature to have a curiosity about things you're told not to do. And I think it'll be easy to be more persuasive if I'm like, don't do this, but it is really fun. Here are the good things. Here are the bad things. Make your own decisions. And one thing, my wife is reading this book. I forget what it's called, but it's about like unplugging and... God, I wish I could remember the name of it. But basically, like, you gotta let your kids make their own decisions and fail on their own so they can learn from those decisions. And it's really hard because as parents, we feel it's our job to protect our kids from any kind of danger or harm. But in reality, how are they supposed to be fully formed adults if they don't learn those lessons on their own? I think it's really hard to... There are people who are like, oh, I was told not to do this, so I listened. But at some point, you're just like, I don't really know, because I didn't learn myself. Yeah, Neil, question in the back.
That was me. That's what I was... You know, I don't know if this will disappoint you, but, you know, my wife likes to say that I'm one of the few that Dare worked on.
That's great.
I
was nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, thanks. But I will say I do think and it's a temperament thing, right? Like I was just very impressionable. I was looking for structure. I was looking for directives, and I went that way. And I will say though too, like in tandem with the anti-drug campaigns of the 90s, I do look back. I think they went a little overboard because I thought, if I did weed, if I smoked a joint, I would die. Like, I was like, oh, you will die. Because, you know, I thought, I will say, I think those PSAs were very well produced. You know, it was a little bit like state propaganda. It was like well shot. It was just like somebody at a locker going, hey, come on, come on. And I was like, this is the scariest shit ever. And I was like, I'm just going to like... play saxophone and, you know, watch Good Will Hunting and hate everyone in my town and just count the days until I can go to college and then throw it all out and then do all the things that I learned not to.
Which, by the way, goes all hand in hand with... Them? I know. I'm sorry. I was like... Go ahead, Sandy.
Can you imagine if you smoked a jazz cigarette while you're playing saxophone? Would have changed everything for you.
You know, there's a guy in our park who we call him Saxophone Man. I think he's Jody actually told me that he's on Reddit. He's a little bit aggressive and will get in your face, but he plays saxophone not well, but well enough. Often shirtless, he's very built, and he often smokes between sets. Sometimes probably while he is playing, and I think that's not good, man. Like you need the pipes.
That's true.
Very cool. He's very cool.
Sorry, Ali, I want to get to what you were going to say, but I was watching a YouTube video of David Bowie singing, but he had a cigarette. And I'm like, how are you singing and smoking a cigarette at the same time? It blew my... I'm like, how the fuck... You need the lung capacity.
Right. Right.
You know, that is something, like, I used to smoke cigarettes. And I remember, like, the idea of, like, oh, I'm going to, like, dangle a cigarette in my mouth. Like the movies. It's awful. Like, it doesn't work. It burns you. It's like, no, you take the puff and you just get it away. I don't know how people could just do that. You'd have to be really, really tough. It is interesting, though, because everything Neil did because he chose not to smoke pot goes hand in hand with smoking pot, namely playing jazz, watching Good Will Hunting, and counting the days till you leave your high school surroundings and go to college. I mean, those are literally like, that is pot. You are, right. Maybe you didn't smoke pot because you are pot. It's interesting. I like the way this is rolling, and I'm kind of curious. And because both you guys, your kids are, you've got, it's going to take some imagination to put your kids into a situation where they'd be around the old dude, right?
Right.
But for the sake of this podcast, what would it be like if you were like those weed commercials back in the 90s when you're like going up into your kid's room and you open up the box and you find the stash? What do you think you would say to your kids if you found their stash?
I would say I have one too, and I learned it from watching you.
That's it.
I think it would look like the dad,
by the way. You look like the dad in the commercial. Do you remember? Do you remember him?
Yeah, I do remember, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like me a little bit worse of a hairline.
Yeah.
And he's like, what is this? Why do you have this? And the kid's like, I learned it from watching you.
100%. Like, dude.
Yeah. I think I recently watched that PSA because I love to watch 90s and 80s commercial compilations on YouTube.
Mm.
And that one came up, and I was very nostalgic for it. But all that stuff to me, I don't know, maybe I'm just like reincarnated degenerate. But all that stuff made it seem cooler to me.
Yeah.
I know that's sad, and I think it'll be different for our kids because weed is so different and drugs are so different. It'll be like a vape pen. Like, I know you said that we're far removed and we'd have to use imagination, but I see vape pens and joints and roaches on the ground all the time. I don't think that it's so far-fetched to like see a group of 7 or 8 year olds walking down the street with a vape. And that's something I would have to like be like, look, this is really bad for your brain right now. Wait a few years.
Yeah.
Then, and it's still bad for your brain, but not quite as bad. But sure. My kids, I think, my older daughter will listen. My older daughter will also, she's going to want to get fucked up. Because she loves her melatonin gummies. They both love taking medicine. The little one wants medicine when she doesn't need it. I think they're both going to want to get fucked up. And I'll be there to shepherd them through that.
I have to chime in on the melatonin fear. I have that. That's a fear. That's completely. I'm like, when he's like, can I have a melatonin? I'm like, okay, let's just take it slow, though. You know, because I know me. I know the two people that got together to create our child. And the melatonin fear is real.
Yeah. Like, you like those gummies a little too much. And that's the other thing, how it's different, too. It's like, The weed gummies are just so superfluous, and it's kind of hard to differentiate them. And my kids love candy so much.
Yeah.
My mother-in-law will come into town, and she loves the gummies. And I've got to remember, like, oh, I got to go get those out of the guest room so that it's not, ooh, what's this? And then we have to go to the emergency room because my daughter's having a paranoid anxiety attack from being too high.
Right. They do look a lot like candy.
Yeah.
What?
I just said they do look a lot like candy.
It look. I'll show you right now. I just found one that was hidden. I was like, oh fuck, I gotta do something about this. Look. The fruit on there is all my kids need to see.
Sure.
And then it's over. And it's not like, you know, some of them come in containers that are hard to open. This is just like a fucking boom. Easy to open plastic bag. But
we're gonna go deep. Well, first, I want to come back to something before I forget. I want to close the loop. I need to close the loop. What's the book you read that changed your view on God?
Oh, God. All Fours by Miranda July.
Oh, yeah. Because my wife said I'm not allowed to read that.
Then you should definitely read it.
Yeah.
Me and my wife read it together. It's about a woman in perimenopause who has an emotional affair with a younger guy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm familiar. It was the book club choice for the ladies of Brooklyn in our neighborhood. And my wife said, you cannot read this.
So read it. I don't know about you guys, but I never put too much thought into menopause.
Hmm.
I don't think most guys do. Unless they're like endocrinologists or gynecologists.
No, I'm just kidding.
But reading this book made me really think about how unfair. Like, we talk about how society is misogynistic, but biology is misogynistic. Nature, the world is misogynistic. And my relationship with God has always been like, you know, when I was younger, a little more atheistic, bordering on agnostic, and then from agnostic to like, okay, I think there's a God, but it's not some personification of like a bearded guy that's pulling strings and granting wishes and scorning other people, but more of just like an energy in the universe that connects things and allows scientific processes or miracles to happen or whatever.
Right.
And I read this book and I was talking to my wife. She read it too. I was like, you know, it's so unfair the way women go through menopause. And I was like, I don't, you know, women's hormones decrease, which causes their sex drive to decrease, and men's just sort of stay the same. And that's why you have men that are interested in younger women, because I think not just the hormones are similar, but maturity level too. I think a lot of older guys are stunted and they're that's, people are like, oh, how could you even, you're in your 40s, how could you even, or you're in your 50s or 60s, what is there even to talk about with a woman in their 20s? I think those guys are like immature, and that's why it works for them. But beyond that, that's a bit of a tangent. My dad left my mom and he way overshared, and it's like he had more of a sex drive than my mom did. And I was telling my wife, I don't want that. Like, you're my partner. You're the one I want to be with forever. But I also don't want to find myself in a situation where you're having sex begrudgingly just because I want to. That sucks. No one wants to hear like, we can. If you want, like, oh yeah, that's what I want. That's how I want this to go. Where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm basically masturbating with your body. Cool. So I was like, it makes me question belief in God, that like women have it so much harder, because in society, women are basically cast aside once they're no longer seen as like sexually viable or fertile, and men can just like be fertile until they're 120 years old and coming dust. And my wife was like, well, maybe it's proof that there is a God and God is male because the way things are so stacked against women. And so it just made me question all that. And I hope that closes the loop. I don't know if that...
Yeah, it closed something and then opened up lots of others, and that's okay. We've got a lot of things open, and you know, that's what show's all about, is asking questions and maybe kind of getting somewhat close to maybe an answer, which, you know, like Judaism, you know, parenting.
Exactly.
What do you hope your kids remember most about their childhood?
Wow, that's a great question. I always think about it in terms of like me being able to remember these little moments of my kids saying the cutest things and being cute and funny and sweet. And what I hope they remember, oh God, I'm gonna cry, about their childhood is just having fun with us and like how much we love them. I can't think of anything specifically. We went to the beach the other day and I've got to take this wagon out on the sand. It's like doing a CrossFit workout? Like the resistance training of wheeling a wagon across a football field's worth of sand. It feels like doing a very high intensity workout. And I hope they just remember that we did everything we could for the sake of their good time. I don't even care if they know that we sacrificed anything or worked hard for it. I just want them to know that we prioritized and cared about their good time.
Yeah, that's good.
And we're there for their things. You know, I've missed a musical of my daughter's, and that really makes me sad. Those are my favorite recitals, musicals, those kind of performance plays. Mm-hmm. But I know it means a lot to them that we're there.
Right. Of course.
How would you want your kids to describe you decades from now?
Last night, my daughter, I'll go to read to her, and she just asks a question about the book, and then it just spirals into tangent questions, and she's talking, and she seems more energetic than she's been all day, emphatically asking questions and listening and follow-up questions. It's like her own little podcast, and then she'll be like, she'll interrupt me mid-answer and be like, can we go back to reading the book now? And then is immediately asleep, like one sentence in. And she asked me last night, what was it? What did she ask me? It wasn't a question. It was one of those, like, I love you more. I love you more than you could, more than the whole stars and everything. And she said to me, I love you more than the whole universe and infinity plus infinity, except for when you shout. I was like, you don't love me when I shout? She's like, no. I was like, when did I shout? I've been very conscious because I grew up in a house where yelling was so pervasive that I fall asleep to Always Sunny in Philadelphia, because the soothing sounds of five drunk people screaming is what helps me drift off into slumber. So I try very hard not to do that. And it's impossible. I'm an emotional person. I've worked really hard to regulate my emotions, but I'm not perfect. But that being said, I was like, what? Like, is she drawing off, like, a traumatic memory of me shouting? I was like, when did I shout? She's like, when you were in Izzy's room. Izzy's my younger daughter. I heard you shouting at her. And I was like, because she was jumping off the bed. I was trying to get her to stop doing that so she wouldn't hurt herself. So it's hard to, you know, it's like the first couple times with little kids, it's like, hey, bud, don't do that. Sweetie, don't do that. I said to stop doing that. Please don't do that. To the point where it's like, you have to, I told her, I was like, sometimes I ask you guys nicely 5, 6, 7 times and you don't listen to me. So I have to raise my voice to let you know I'm serious. So I hope. That's a long way of saying I hope my daughters don't remember me shouting and they just remember me for all the things that I do that they love.
Dig it. Are you able to share any material with your kids? I know you work Blue, but like, is there like a dad joke version of Sandy Danto that they know? Or like, are you kind of doing puns, corny jokes with them? Like, what's the comedy stylings amongst the 7 and 4-year-old?
You know what I realize? What they resonate with the most is impressions and silly voices and, honestly, improv. They were into Teen Titans Go, which I loved, and I wish they would go back to watching that because now they're just watching garbage YouTube videos. But, and even like Disney and Amazon and Paramount have all licensed these YouTubers' content. So we have a rule where it's like, you can either watch YouTube for a little bit in the morning or in the evening, but not both. And the loophole they've found is they'll watch the YouTube videos that are on the streamers. So I've got to come up with a new rule. But when they were watching Teen Titans Go, we would improv. Like, I would have to be all the boy characters and they would be the girl characters. And they love that. The other day, I do a really good Elmo, which they've outgrown, but they heard me do it for a little kid, for like a baby, and then they just wanted to improv with me as Elmo.
Sandy, I have to stop you, because I do an Elmo, and I kind of feel like we need to have an Elmo off.
All right.
So
I'm always down.
Last time I did this on the program, I think I really hurt Ollie's ears, and I might have busted a speaker, but... Ollie, why don't you tell us give us a prompt or tell us what to say as Elmo, and Sandy, you can go first, and then I'll go.
For the sake of this exercise, I'll refer to you both as Elmo, but singularly. So, Elmo, if you could freeze one moment in time of being a dad, Elmo, what would it be? Elmo.
If I could freeze one moment of being a dad, it would be the time that my daughters both had blowouts in the car at the same time. It was a really smelly day in my car, and I still haven't gotten the stench out.
Well played. Same question?
Elmo loves playing and watching movies and eating popcorn. Elmo just likes big warm hugs. That's what Elmo wants to remember.
That's really good.
There's a thing here, and I think it's really in the approach, And Niels is very effective. But to be fair, there's the two approaches are like, you know, Sandy, your Elmo is kind of like, you know, you are this kind of like, you know, it's a small Muppet. It's a young Muppet. And it's kind of like searching for whatever is happening right now. Niels' Elmo is like that Elmo that's very excited, that's like on speed. You know, I think, Sandy, your Elmo reflects edibles. You know what I mean? Yeah. Your
guy. I'm the Elmo for whom the D.A.R.E. program did not work on.
Yeah, dude. It's yep. They're literally like, you know, it's like people do their, how they approach Trump. I think there literally was two distinct approaches there. And I think, you know, Elmo on crack on uppers kind of will kind of like,
I think that's more accurate.
It's more accurate. But there's, again, there's, you know, talent's in the choices. Talent is in the choices.
Sandy, we're coming up on time, and you've been so generous. We're going to do two more things, if you'll indulge us. I'm going to put 30 seconds on the clock, and you're going to do this segment called Brag About Your Kids. Because you have two children, you can decide to spend the entire 30 seconds bragging about one child. You can divide it evenly, 15 and 15, or, you know, every child needs different things. Maybe you just get one child's bragging rights off in 5 seconds and then talk about the other one. I don't know. It's your decision. Are you ready to brag about your kids for 30 seconds?
I'm always ready to brag about my kids.
Time starts now.
My daughters are both so sweet and affectionate to me. My older daughter is really talented at dancing and gymnastics, and she's a good girl. She listens. She does her homework at the after school program.
10 seconds.
And she gets herself dressed before school. And the younger daughter is me. She's funny. She doesn't listen, but the things that come out of her mouth are just so entertaining and hilarious. And they're both so gorgeous.
Thank you for bragging about your kids. And that was Brag About Your Kids. Now, the last thing, and I don't know how many, I'm sure you listened to like 25 of our episodes, so you're very familiar with the format. Every dad who comes on engages in a lightning round. No one has refused. Do not be the first. Are you ready, Sandy, for the dad lightning round?
Yes.
Okay, Ollie.
Here we go. All right, Sandy, dad lightning round. Number one, parenting advice in 5 words or less.
Slow down. Don't care so much.
Wow, he got it in 5 words. Pick a superpower, X-ray vision or super speed?
Super speed.
All right. One book every day.
I would abuse X-ray vision in bad ways.
Okay. A little personal shame in there. How about this? One book every dad should read.
All fours?
All right. Miranda July. Best dad snack.
Is this the best snack of my kids that I want, or best snack just for any dad?
I think it's how you interpret it. I mean, if you're someone
perfect
who...
Perfect bars.
Perfect bars. I'll have to check that out. Okay.
They're a refrigerated protein bar, but they're really good. Yeah, and they're not all, you know... I'm not like a health nut or anything. They're definitely tastier, more indulgent snacks. But this is like a good... Like, if I don't have time to eat a meal, I could have one of these and be okay.
Gotta take care of the dad bod. Funniest sound your kids make?
My younger one will go,
that's what's not to love there. Yacht rock or indie folk?
I love both, honestly, but are we talking about Stomp Clap Hey? Because no.
No.
You don't know what's... Okay, like indie folk, like Fleet Foxes?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Sure.
Fleet Fox. Yeah, yeah, indie folk.
Yeah. All right. I'm into that. I'm into both, to be honest. Cold brew or
I'm
micro...
into both, to be honest, too.
Yeah. Cold brew
love
or
me
microdose?
Some Steely Dan.
Yeah. I mean, kind of.
Cold brew or microdose?
Yeah. One or the other.
I also love both. But right now, it's tough because I'm trying to decrease my coffee use, and I just decreased my microdosing. But there are
what
pros
do you miss
and cons
more?
Of both. I'm gonna say cold brew right now.
Okay, the caffeine fix. I feel like I might have an answer to this, but I'll ask it again. Kids TV show you actually like.
Teen Titans Go, for
you
sure.
Love Teen, yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Ooh, this is a great LA question on the food tip. In-N-Out or Pink's Hot Dogs?
Ooh. In-N-Out. In-N-Out. Okay. Pink's is good, but that line, no one needs that. In-N-Out, yeah. You can just go inside instead of waiting in the line.
Fair enough. Fair enough. As someone from Detroit, I imagine you appreciate a good chili dog. This is a classic.
Good knowledge. Good
knowledge.
Yeah,
that's that was the old background one day when back in the day, the old food stuff. Greatest dad of all time.
Ooh.
Could be real, could be fictitious. TV.
Fictitious. I think it from the way these two dads have been memorialized post-mortem, it seems like Bill Walton and Ozzy Osbourne were beloved by their families.
Fascinating. Oh, dude, that's killing it, Sandy. Favorite movie to watch with your kids?
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Ooh, there you go. Oh, that I know Neil likes that one. He likes everything between the years of 1990 and 1999. And finally...
What's not to like about everything from those years?
I'm on the nostalgia tip, too.
I just went to Backstreet Boys at the Sphere, which if you told me, my 1999 self, that I would ever do that, I'd be like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Totally.
But it was the best.
Same. I mean, I listen to Blink 182 so much, and when they were new, I like would be like, ugh, I don't know. We become what we behold. I don't know. And finally, Sandy, best part about being a dad?
When my kids run up to me and give me hugs and kisses and say I love you unsolicited.
And that is why, Sandy Danto, you are the world's greatest dad.
Oh, thank you. Also, when they fart and they're proud of it, they'll be like, I farted. My wife sent me a video of my younger daughter getting in an elevator and being like, is it okay to fart in here?
Yeah.
So, you know, either one of those things.
Were there other people besides your family in the elevator?
No.
Be funnier.
Yeah.
Sandy, thank you for joining us. Thank you for being the world's greatest dad. You are the world's greatest dad.
Thank you, guys. This was so great. I want to hear more about you guys next time.
Oh, yeah, next time.
Yeah,
we'll have you
totally.
On again. We haven't had a repeat guest yet, but I think we're due.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we could be like Johnny Carson, with, like calling you over to the couch, you know? Calling you back to Riverside. All right, thank you, Sandy.
Awesome. When does this come out?